Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron coming up with the latest scheme to kick the can down the road a little bit more and keep the euro alive. And this one comes in the form of a 500 billion euro rescue package. 500 billion isn't going to do anything. But anyway, Alexander, let me take you to Bill Blaine's blog called The Morning Porridge. And this is a good blog, and I like what Bill Blaine says here. Let me read you this excerpt from this article that he has written up discussing this 500 billion, sorry, recovery fund is what it's called, recovery fund. So here we go from Bill Blaine. Yesterday's big moment was France and Germany announcing plans for a European Union euro 500 billion recovery fund. Yawn. I struggled to contain my excitement. What is it? Point one, yet another solution that isn't. Point two, yet again, we have the grand launch of more political mumble swerve cobbled together to extend the illusion of Europe is a functional polity. Point three, yet again, a fudge allows Merkel to look like Germany gives a fig for the crisis across the rest of Europe, while simultaneously allowing Macron to look like the statesman he imagines himself to be. And finally, point four, yet again, Europe remains a case of eat, sleep, repeat. Alexander, what do you make of this 500 billion recovery fund that Merkel and Macron have hatched?
This is so typical of Merkel. I mean, this is Merkel's stamp all over it, and it's exactly what you come what you've come to expect from her. So Merkel has spent the last couple of weeks and months saying that there's no possibility of debt mutualization. Germany will never agree, supposedly, to act as guarantor for the debts of other countries within the European Union. So what does she do? She agrees to a form of debt mutualization by stealth. Debt mutualization, in theory, Germany will control. But the way this particular plan works is this. The European Union will not issue euro bonds or corona bonds or whatever they were called. It will issue, the European Commission will issue bonds. Those bonds will create a slush fund. I'm going to call it a slush fund for a special reason, a slush fund of 500 billion euros. That slush fund will then give out grants to various people across the European Union. Unclear how that will be supervised or controlled, but we must assume it'll be the European Commission that will do it. And of course, the European Commission will then repay these bonds in time. A bond, I would remind our viewers, is a loan. It's basically when a government issues a loan, asks for a loan, when it borrows money, it gives what's called a bond, a promise to repay to the person who lends it. That's what a bond is. So it's going to, the European Commission will then repay these bonds out of its budget. Who, of course, provides the largest contribution to the EU budget? The answer is Germany. So in effect, the European Commission is going to borrow money on a German guarantee, because that's how it's going to work. So she's going to come around to the people of Germany, and she's going to say to the people of Germany, well, actually, you know, we're not standing guarantee for any loans because that isn't what this is all about at all. And yet that is exactly what it is, because that is the only way this can work. And she's also going to say to them, well, this is only a relatively small fund of 500 billion euros, all to revive the economy after the pandemic crisis. Trouble is, first of all, apparently, no money is going to be distributed before 2021, by which point Merkel will be out of office. Remember that. Secondly, there is nothing in theory which prevents the European Commission coming forward and saying, well, 500 billion is nowhere near enough. We need 1 trillion or 2 trillion or 5 trillion or 10 trillion. And, you know, come along, Germany, give us more so that we can raise bonds to that level. And of course, sooner or later, well, they come along and say, well, Germany, you know, the point is we accept that you can't do it all by yourself. So let's have universal taxation right across the Eurozone and the European Union, because that's the only realistic way we can repay these bonds. I mean, that is the agenda. Now, it's not going to work. It's not going to play, because ultimately what I think is going to happen is the people in Germany, who are anything but stupid, are going to figure this out very fast. The German Constitutional Court has already made it clear that debt mutualization is contrary to the treaties and is contrary to the German Constitution. I predict that sooner or later there will be a rash of legal challenges against it within Germany. And it seems that some of the other countries, the Netherlands, Austria, for example, are not happy with this either. But it's just classic Merkel. It kicks the ball down the road, as Bill Blaine says. It does so in a way that it will only really come to fruition after Merkel herself is gone. So it enables her to play again the role of Queen of Europe. And of course, the other thing to understand is that when we're talking about a recovery fund, presumably, as I said, it will be the European Commission that will decide where the money goes. What the European Commission does is provide money to all its various friends around Southern Europe, Central Europe, Eastern Europe, wherever in Europe. And so we will see money going, you know, for roads that aren't needed, bridges that don't cross anything, railways that don't do anything, things that we are very used to, by the way, in our respective countries, in Cyprus and Greece, but which we've seen everywhere. You have contractors from, you know, the big countries from Germany and France who will do very well out of this, and you will find their partners in the countries themselves, who are, of course, all very well politically connected, they will do very well out of it also. So it's another way to extract money out of Germany to keep this thing going, and, of course, to make some people across the European Union very rich, and to build for the European Commission in Brussels and the European bureaucracy a patronage work network that they can call on in order to keep this show on the road. As I said, I come back. I don't think it's going to work. I predict legal challenges. I predict it will all unravel. Legal challenges take a long time. The money won't be distributed until 2021 or even 2022. And of course, Merkel will be gone by then. And in the meantime, she will be able to leave as the great statesman who provided the answer. So that's what this is all about. Now, of course, Macron, who was the other player to all of this, he has gained something, not very much ultimately, but once again, he's managed to project himself as Merkel's equal, the person who stands for Southern Europe and protects Southern Europe, except, of course, he's done no such thing, because this isn't going to help the economies of Southern Europe, which are in terrible condition, not remotely. So I've talked rather a lot, but I hope I've made myself and my views about all this clear.
Crystal clear. This is Lipstick on a Pig. Alexander, German citizens will be the first citizens to get screwed by Merkel and Macron's little plot here that they've come up with. But eventually, I think you're right, eventually down the line, 2, 3, 4 years down the line, we're going to be looking at a pan-European tax, a different type of tax. They'll think of something to pay for all these bonds and loans that they're going to be taking out.
If they get that far. Because
if they get that far.
They could unravel long before. To be very clear, that is the ultimate agenda here. This is what this is all about. This is what Macron
extraction.
And Merkel.
Extraction from EU
Macron,
citizens of money.
This is what Macron and Merkel between them are ultimately are intending. And Ursula von Leyen, who is the European Commission president, that's what their agenda is. Whether we will ever get to that point, that's another matter. But that's what these people want to see happen.
Yeah, tax the population and enrich an elite few. But I didn't share Bill Blaine's thoughts with you before we did this video, Alexander, because I wanted to see how both of you aligned on this. And I mean, it's like I'm reading his article, I'm listening to you, and it's like it's the same person. Let me read you another excerpt from his article, and you can comment on it. This can of fudge will allow Miss Merkel to grandstand to her electorate, telling them that backstopping an EU euro 500 billion lending program to struggling EU members is so obviously not the same as joint and several lending to struggling EU members. She will be able to tell German workers and savers that euro 500 billion is a trifling matter compared to the importance of Germany remaining at the top part of Europe. It also conveniently glosses over the current ructions about the German Constitutional Court declaring itself superior to the European Court of Justice. But that's a story for another day. What the agreement is a commitment by France and Germany to allocate the European Union budget in the form of grants to the worst hit regions and sectors. What euro 500 billion of budget looks like is a significant underspend. If the US is spending upwards of $3 trillion, then the years of austerity damage to Europe's soft underbelly require a similar, if not greater, amount.
That's exactly right. I mean, this isn't about recovery from the health crisis or any kind of recovery. As I said, it's about giving the European Commission a slush fund and setting up the scenario for the day when we will have a unified tax structure and bonds by some form of debt mutualization and issuance, and that, as I said, is clearly what the agenda is here. As I said, I don't think it will work in the end. I think Bill Blaine's got it exactly right. I'm very impressed to see that he and I think the same way, but I think the facts speak for themselves. All you have to do is to drill through the usual smoke screen that Macron and Merkel come up with, and there are plenty of people in Germany who will do just that.
Yeah, and one final excerpt from his article, Alexander, which I think proves the point that you've made many times, that the solution for keeping the European Union united is to unravel the euro, the eurozone. Yeah. And here's what Bill Blaine says. The very last way for Europe to recover from 10 years of misguided monetary policy and austerity budgets is through yet more centralized lending from Brussels. The best solution would be to magically undo the whole euro construct. Let countries run their own regional and industrial policy and determine their own social policies within the single market of Europe. That would encourage nations to compete and optimize their economies within the single market. At some point, when nations were aligned, a common currency might even work. Instead, locking them into the euro too early ensured European nations are increasingly beholden to Brussels.
Well, he's put it beautifully. I mean, I have nothing really to add to that. I mean, I think he's hit the nail on the head. The only thing I would say is I'm becoming extremely skeptical about whether a European single currency is ever going to be a viable option, given how different these economies are and given how people in these countries value ultimately their own nationhood and their own independence. And I think the whole tide of opinion across Europe clearly points now in a direction which is away from that kind of integration, which I doubt anyway is workable. So, you know, the problem is with the European Union, we discussed this before, it has a genius for failing and still going on. I mean, there is a huge investment in this project and still no sufficient critical mass of opposition to bring it to an end. But I think eventually an end will come. It has to. Nothing that is unsustainable can ever be sustained.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is the analogy with the U.S. I think kind of calls this out for what it is.
Well, I mean, like the U.S.
Said, I mean, if the U.S. is serious about helping, yeah, you know, Southern Europe and the regions that were hardest hit And yeah. 500 billion is just a slap in the face. It's a joke.
Well, it is. This is the backdoor to something more sinister. Exactly. This isn't that. This isn't what this is about at all. It's just absolutely not about that. Can I just say, I mean, the point, the fundamental difference, people should not compare the European Union with the United States. The United States is a nation. Europe isn't. The European Union is not a nation. And there is no prospect within any foreseeable future of it becoming one. These constant attempts to behave and act as if the European Union is a country and a nation is a completely misconceived one. I am very, very much in favor of European states and nation states working closely together and cooperating and, you know, pooling things together in some situations. But I think this project of trying to create a state by stealth, because this is what this is. The reason they're doing it in this backward, you know, hole in the corner way is because they know that if Merkel knows perfectly well, if she came along to people in Germany and said to them, this is what I'm up to, they would say no to her. They would say quite clearly, we're against it. So she comes up with these dodgy devices, and that in the end can never work.
Yeah, I agree. Very sneaky. Very sneaky.
But so typical of Angela Merkel. I have to say, when I've got a bottle of champagne in my cellar for the day when she finally goes, which I think eventually will come. I mean,
I remember calling her a vampire.
I know. But I mean, even the worst things never last forever, and the day will come when she will go. And I have to say, not a moment too soon, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. All right, we'll leave it there. Alexander Mercuris, editor-in-chief of The Durant, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that subscribe. Also share the video and share the channel with everybody you know. Sharing the channel out to all your social media contacts really helps us out a lot. And also go to SoundCloud and look for an audio copy of this video. You can also find an audio copy on iTunes as well. And donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation helps keep this channel up and running. And of course, you have the durantshop.com where you can pick up all kinds of merchandise. We have great magic mugs, t-shirts, polo shirts, all kinds of good things. And Alexander, I'm going to let you off the hook today with the Patriotic Legacy, our friends at Patriotic Legacy, because I got my Patriotic Legacy as well.
We both got ours.
This is the best torch flashlight around. The thing is awesome. Very sturdy. It's like, you know what it is? It's like the Swiss Army knife of flashlights. I mean, it's just got so many cool functions and so many things you can do. The compass, the microphone that lets out the noise, the USB port's awesome where you could charge your MacBook, your Android, your iPhone. It's got the cool little magnet. You can just slap it right on your fridge. On anything metal, it just sits there. It's got the hammer. It's got the razor to cut your seatbelt. It's got three different modes for the flashlight. Anyway, guys, Patriotic Legacy, this is a great flashlight, or as Alexander would say, a great torch. And they're running a contest. The contest will get you the blue camouflage. That's the contest. You'll also they also have all kinds of other prizes in that contest as well when you make a purchase over $30. And use Durant20 at checkout to get 20% off your purchase at our friends at Patriotic Legacy. You'll find a link in the description box down below. They also ship internationally, the blue camo flashlight. I've seen pictures of it. It looks amazing. So Alexander, Patriotic Legacy, take it away. You want to talk a little bit more about the legacy? You want to talk about Durant gear, Durant merchandise? Close out the video.
Just to echo what you said, this is the greatest torch in the world. And everybody who values having a really good item like this should definitely have one. I mean, I will never drive my car now without it. I mean, it's absolutely indispensable. And I use it also to drive my dogs and also to rummage around in my cellar where I have the champagne, which is waiting for the day when Merkel goes. So that gives you an idea of how important this is to me. It's the best in the world. And I've just set off the alarm. by mistake, but you see what you see the kind of sound it makes. It is a brilliant, brilliant torch. Everyone should have one. So come and do exactly what Alex says. But of course, you can also come to our shop. You will find all our own amazing stuff, our wonderful magic mugs. Alex is drinking from his, and this is mine, the best mugs in the world. Without any doubt or qualification whatsoever. And you will find them in our shop, as you will also find our amazing shirts, like the T-shirt I'm wearing at the moment with the double-headed eagle of the Duran on it. But we've also got, this is a short-sleeve T-shirt. We've got long-sleeve T-shirts. We've got polo shirts, all 100% cotton, all amazingly stylish and comfortable and fabulous and amazing and wonderful. And we also have V-neck shirts, and we've also got hats, hoodies, and stickers, and we've got great ebooks on subjects like Russiagate and Ukraine Gate and Brexit, which is all about the European Union, and Epstein and oil and all that. So come to our shop, buy these great things, you know, get yourself a Patriot beacon. Alex will tell you how to do it.
You'll find the link for the Patriot Beacon, Patriotic Legacy, in the description box down below. Remember to use the code Duran20 at checkout to get 20%. And you'll find the link to the Duran shop as well in the description box down below. Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.